And then if it does hurt anybody, it's just going to hurt you. These are lies. Fathers, dads here, you don't sin by yourself. You take your whole family with you. Sin hurts. And tonight I want to tell you who it hurts. The first person sin hurts is you. Not necessarily in that order. Tonight I'm going to tell you that sin hurts you, it hurts others, and it hurts God. And I can show you in the Bible. And there's so many illustrations, I didn't have to look hard. But sin hurts you. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, can you say it with me? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, the wages of sin is death. Did you know that sin is some kind of a living form? And as God told Cain, it seeks you. It crouches down waiting for you. And it has evil intent to kill you. And you say, wow, like it's going to kill me, like shoot me with a gun. No. It's going to separate you from God, and that's death. Hell is just simply separated from complete, of any hope of life. It's horrible. And so sin hurts you. I have, years ago, first team I was ever on as a policeman, 1988, a bunch of young rookies on swing shift, bad days off. You know, we had like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. And just a bunch, it was, I have a picture of in my office. And I look at that picture every once in a while and I think of some of the men there. I remember one of them. We all get to know everybody and they all share their lives like too much. And I couldn't believe they were telling me stuff that I shouldn't know about them. And this one man was just very clearly not being faithful to his wife. And I knew that his wife was a good Christian lady. I mean, she was well known in the church where they went as being, and she is a fabulous lady. It broke my heart. I was just a single guy. And it broke my heart to hear it. And I'm up at the county jail booking in somebody. And he's on the phone behind me because they had a phone. We didn't have cell phones then. And he's on a phone behind me. We did have a radio, thankfully. But he's on the phone talking to his wife. He said, I love you, baby. I love you, all this stuff. And I'm like, what a farce. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Mark, tell him. Like tell him he's a farce? Yes. Lord, hey, man, I don't know if you ever had an argument with God. I'm like, that's like none of my business. I'm just a kid. I'm 23 years old. And I'm supposed to brace this guy who's married about his... He goes, yes. I mean, the Lord was like this. Do it now. And I said, no, Lord, I can't do it. It was a few things. Fear of man. Fear of buttoning in somebody's business and getting it shoved in my face, whatever it was. But brothers and sisters, I never did it. It was near the end of our shift. He left the Sally Port after booking in his person, and the next call he had was the last call of his career because he inappropriately touched a 17-year-old woman. The next day, he was in the county jail where he just booked somebody the night before. And he lost so much that day. And I can say right now that sin hurt him. he was never able to ever get a job in law enforcement ever again. Thankfully, that's just how it is. That's just, you got to have a line somewhere. By the way, sin hurts other people. His wife was totally embarrassed, hurt, appalled. She stayed with him. I think they work things out. Sin hurts others. You don't get to sin and it not affect. There's no victimless crime. Your kids are going to be infected with your sin. You don't get away with this. Some of the sins I hate the most is the ones I see in my children that they learn from me. Whether it was just a little bit of laziness or just, I don't know. Those things really bother me. But sin hurts others, and we find lots of illustrations in the Bible. Remember Achan? What a good word, Achan. They hit Jericho, went around the city all those times. They said, everything here belongs to the Lord. All right? It's one thing to steal somebody's stuff. When you steal God's stuff, it gets kind of serious. All right? He goes in there, finds a wedge of gold, some nice garments. He hides them. He takes them. He took them for himself. And he was supposed to give all that. That was all God's. And they went to a little bitty town. They didn't even send very many men up there because it was such a dinky place. And they got beat. People come back. Man, there's 36 dead Israeli soldiers. God wasn't with them. And Joshua just fell and said, where are you? God, you left me. God, you left me. And there was this big wailing and crying. And God says, Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. Quit your bawling. Get up. You know, whoa, there's sin in the camp. Oh, it's not God, it's us. And they cast lots. I don't know, man. That sounds kind of scary, I bet, that day when the lots started falling. And the lots started falling. And the lot started falling, and it started getting down to this group, this tribe, and then it got down to this family of this, and it got down to this grandfather, and it got down to this father, and it got down to this son. And the lot fell on Achan. And Joshua walked up and said, please tell us, what wickedness have you done? And in front of the whole assembly, he says, it's in my tent. I stole some clothes and a wedge of gold. I buried it under my tent. And he ordered the men, go get it. And they went, and sure enough, it was there. You know what they did? They took him, his wife, his daughters, his sons, his donkeys, his camels. Every stitch of thing he owned was cursed. And they put it in a pit, the whole thing, everybody standing around. Remember, there's 1.6 million Israelites. I'm sure not all of them were there, but all the men were there. And 36 families that this man caused to die. And Joshua says, today you have troubled us, but now the Lord's going to trouble you, Achan. And he was stoned to death with his whole family. Sin hurts other people. We think we can keep our sin connected just to our little thing. It's not going to work that way. Lastly, sin hurts God. I suppose what drags me to my knees the most on my own sin is that I've sinned against a loving God. So it brings tears to me the quickest. I've done something. Here I am, a pastor or something, and I've had this horrible thought or this deed or said some word that was not from the Lord. And I've sinned against the holy God. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I mean, you were sealed. I mean, you're saved forever. That's what that means. Once you come to faith in Christ, you're sealed and you got life and liberty. And what do you do with it? You waste it. And you grieve the Holy Spirit. He's grieved. And the Holy Spirit's God. You know, God the Father is on the throne. The Son is next to him. He already came and redeemed us and sits at the right hand of the Father. But the Spirit, the Comforter, was sent. The most powerful force on all the earth is with us and in us. And we grieve him. We hurt him. Remember what David said? Against thee, thee only have I sinned, done evil in thy sight. Hey, we hurt God. And tonight, as we get right with the Lord, as we bow here in a moment, and we just ask the Lord to bless this time, would you confess that the sin is hurting you? That sin is hurting others? And that it's hurting God? And by the way, when it says it's hurting the church, it's hurting everybody. And let's ask for repentance, the gift of repentance. And that God has already saved you and forgiven you. What a blessed person you are. You know, when I ask you to ask God to forgive you, I'm not asking you to get saved again. Did you know that? All right. My son Jeremiah over here is my son. He'll never, ever not be my son. I can't get the Morton out of him. Look at him. Okay? He looks like me. He's a little bit more handsome than me. He's bigger than me. But I can still take them. Anyway, not a challenge. And he's always going to be my son. You see, our relationship's settled. It's over with. When he comes to me and he apologizes to me, it's not a matter of if he's going to be my son again. It's not about relationship. It's about fellowship. And whether I need to, he's a grown man now, whether I need to apologize to him or he needs to apologize to me, it's about restoring fellowship. And so today, if you're a believer, make sure your fellowship is restored. This is a great opportunity to take, an opportunity to take that. Not only that, it's an opportunity for us married people. Marriage is, I know it seems pretty easy right now, Schmitz, but it can get harder. And if this is marriage, according to statistics today, that's how many people stay married. Half. That's all that makes it. About one in two make it. The recent statistics say that's about how many people after 7 years said they would still stay with their partner. Wish they would never have gotten married was the other part. That'd break my heart. My wife came home and said, I just wish I never married you. 70% of all marriages could say that. That's how many marriages are having a great time, statistically, in our world today. It's 5%. I have one, by God's grace. It's 1 in 2 divorce rate, but do you know what the rate is? I say it so much, you probably know it already. What's the rate of, if Mark and Hope would just pray together? It's 1 in 1,260 get divorced that pray together. She was. And so this is a great opportunity. If there's one relationship in this house that is under threat the most and seems to be attacked the most, it's your marriage. Your marriage gets attacked a lot at every angle, and it's encouraged in our culture today almost. And so I want to put out a personal plea for you. And it says in 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers not be hindered. Wow, we need to pray. We need our prayers answered. So, men, would you turn to your wives if they're here with you? And would you say, if I have not been understanding and honored you, would you forgive me? Could you, husband, say that to your wife? Would you ask for forgiveness? It says in Ephesians 5:33, it says, nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. And so, wife, if you could turn to your husband and say, if I've not respected you as my husband, would you forgive me? If I've not respected you as my husband, would you forgive me? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, it doesn't mean you're forgiven it. Unless you mean it. And so if you go, man, that's hard. I mean, why'd you pick this day, Pastor, to make us do that? Because the Lord wanted me to. Because the Lord wants you to have a rich relationship. And you can't take the Lord's Supper mad at your husband. You can, but it won't go well. And you can't do it if you're mad at your wife. And so may the Lord bless your marriages. They're held sacred in my heart in this church. Now let's examine ourselves. And let's take a moment here just between you and the Lord. And in just a moment, if you want to make a confession, I will open the floor for that. But can you ask the Lord to help you not hurt yourself with sin or others or him and grieve him and ask for repentance before we take the Lord's Supper for this time so much. And Lord, it's good for this preacher just to be with his church family and in my heart confess my sins to you and ask that, Lord, you would help me to be a man of more character, be a man of God in all my relationships, especially with you, Lord, in my heart. I pray for that. I pray for the rest of this congregation. Lord, may we come before you tonight knowing that we're not worthy at all to take it, but Lord, tonight we are standing in a life of repentance. And Lord, if there's anybody here that just can't pray it, they just, Lord, they can't forgive, they can't give up their sin, they can't do that. Lord, help them just to not take the Lord's Supper. Don't let them curse themselves. But as much as is possible for us, Lord, help us to know that we have repented of everything and that there's nothing between you and us. And I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to open the floor. Do you have a confession to make? Would you like to share something with your church that the Lord's put on your heart? Okay. Lil, you need to re-up. What are you going to do? Okay, you're going to give him everything you got. All right, you want to rededicate your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Dora? Bless you, sister. Sue? All right. Okay. All right. Lord bless you for the confession. Anybody else? Jeremiah? You've been dragging your feet in the ministry. What are you going to do? You're going to what? Okay. That sounds great. All right. That's wonderful. But Tara Blood. Thank you. Yeah. That's correct. Wonderful, sister. Amen. Thank you for that confession. Miss Susan? Okay, sister. Thank you. John Howard? Thanks for your confession. Victor. All right. Amen. Or someone else will. Yeah. You don't want that. Brother. Thank you, Scott. Grateful. Nothing more unpleasing to God than an ungrateful child. Yeah. All right. Thank you, church. May the Lord bless you in your confession. Can I ask the deacons come up? I think I'm going to ask Fred, Brother Fred also, if you have Brother Sean, if you'd come. Is that right, Brother John? You'd like Brother Sean to come? Okay. All right. Pastor Jared, if you'd take your position right there. All right. Just a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Fred to pray for the bread, and Brother John, I'm going to ask you to pray for the cup. All right? And you notice I hold this with me. I never want to memorize this. When I memorize something, I might get in the habit of going through the motions. And so I don't. I found out I did memorize it because I did the Lord's Supper in their wedding, and I just went, but I want to read it to you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said this, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Brother Fred, would you pray and remember the Lord when you do so? John 6:51, listen to this. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brother John, would you pray for the cup? But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And one day, Mary Lynn's going to come up off her mansion in heaven. We're going to meet and have supper. We're all going to have a good old time. Isn't that going to be something? We're going to talk about the days at Grant Hills Baptist Church. How we did it for Jesus. And how it was worth every trouble and trial. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So let's stand and let's sing a hymn. I love Amazing Grace. Do you? I do. Unless Sean's got something else up his sleeve. No. All right. Let's sing Amazing Grace, the first and the last. That's my favorite. Shake someone's hand. Tell them you love them.